I really picked up the reading with part of the closing of the passage from last week, because Jesus and the disciples were on the road to Jerusalem. Now, last week I told you that phrase, on the road, I thought of Charles Carrault, but somebody told me they thought of Willie Nelson being on the road again. And certainly the disciples were constantly on the road again with Jesus. And it's important to remember they were on the road to Jerusalem when this conversation took place. Jerusalem was the holy city. It was the capital. It was the traditional place where the king of Israel ruled. Now, that wasn't the case under Roman occupation. But for every Jew, Jerusalem, Zion, meant the place of power. And for most Jews, it meant worldly power. You know, I thought James and John's question was very much like a question if you have children that you've heard before. Mom, Dad, I want to ask you for something, and I want you to give me what I ask you for, okay? Now, haven't you heard some variation of that question with your children? You know, they want you to agree to what they want before you know the details. And, you know, that's a pretty good deal if you can get it. But most of us don't just agree before we hear the details. I think I've shared with you before that some years ago, one of my mentors, William Glasser, shared that his approach in parenting was always to try to say yes. Oh boy, when I first heard that, I said, boy, will that get you into trouble? But then he explained the approach. I always want to say yes to you if what you ask satisfies my concern for your well-being. See, that's a big difference. So if you ever get in that situation where your children come up and ask you, and some of you have got young enough children that you're probably going to hear that again, just say yes. I always want to say yes to you if that's good for you. And God's put me here as parent to make that decision. So that's what I'd like to do. Now let me hear the details. Well, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, pull this on Jesus. And what did they want? They wanted to sit at his right and left hand. They wanted the privilege among the 12, the apostles. They wanted the privilege of power. You see, this was really a kingly question. And in their mind, they had accepted Jesus as the Messiah, but they pretty much accepted him as a Messiah in the earthly sense. That somehow this man who could heal the sick, this man who could make the blind see and the lame to walk, surely this man has power. And if he has power, he can restore the Davidic kingdom. And boy, I want to get right in there and have my piece of the pie. I want to have my power too. And so these brothers had probably already been conspiring with one another, and they thought, who else more deserving to sit at the right and left hand of the king are we? Of course, the question comes, are we really any different today? We know a lot about Jesus. We know a lot about scriptures. But in our hearts, in our attitudes, are we a lot like John and James? do we really see our relationship with our Lord paying off in this life? Are we working for worldly power, prestige, and recognition? Are we looking for worldly answers to godly issues? And I think if the truth would be known, we're a lot like James and John. That's what we know about. We know about worldly stuff. Spiritual stuff is a little harder. And to trust the spiritual is even harder than that. To know it from a distance may be enough of a threat for our lives. But to give our lives over to a Messiah who came to conquer the world in a non-worldly way is risky business. And that's what Jesus was sharing with these disciples. He says, first of all, you don't have any idea what you're asking for in your life. That was another way of saying, as he proceeded, that my kingdom is not a worldly kingdom. It's not going to be established in a worldly way. It's not going to look like a kingdom in the line of David. Secondly, there's a big price that has to be paid. Can you pay the price? If I were able to give you that privilege, can you pay the price? And what was the price? He asked them, can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to have to go through, and can you take the cup that I'm going to have to drink? In other words, are you willing to sacrifice everything for this new kingdom? Are you willing to die, excuse me, for your convictions? Because that's what I'm willing to do. And then he told them, I can't grant this to you anyway. It's for the Father to decide who sits there. It's not my decision. But you see, in our world, we get obsessed with power and the things that represent power. My daughter had jury duty this week, and she fretted over that and called her mom because her mom had gone down in the jury pool. And what am I going to have to do? And am I going to have to miss school? And, yeah, you are when you get called for jury duty. But you do a lot of sitting around until they select the jurors. Well, she felt fortunate that after the second day they had their jury and alternates, and she was released and was glad to go back to the classroom because of the alternative of having to sit on a jury. She was worried about that. And maybe a lot of us would worry about that today because we're not real sure about what goes on in our court systems anymore. We wonder if there's really justice there, even though that's what the jury is supposed to represent. There's a new movie out. You know I like to go to movies. Jane left me Friday. It was Friday. And so I went off to the movies. And there's a new movie out called Runaway Jury. Gene Hackman and Dustin Hoffman and a couple of other actors you'd probably recognize, and I can't remember their names, are in that movie. But it's the kind of thing that we all sort of suspect. You've heard about how in these really high-profile cases, the lawyers bring in jury consultants. As a matter of fact, that's how Oprah met Dr. Phil. He was a consultant to lawyers about how to read people. And this movie will just blow your mind about how each side, the prosecution and the defense, had their jury consultants, and it's all about picking a jury so you can manipulate justice. And to manipulate justice is to manipulate power. It's the same issue that James and John were so concerned about. We want power. We want a powerful position. To be at the right and left hand of the king means we'll have power. And this movie goes forth and shows how they've turned even our jury system into a process that can be mastered and manipulated to get the results in the case you want to get. Thank goodness it had a good surprise ending. I won't tell you about that in case you want to go. But it's about power. Every time you turn around in this world, it's about power. And Jesus said, you know, the kingdom I'm talking about is not like the kingdom of this world, where the people who rule in this world and have positions of authority have power over you and lord it over you. My kingdom's a different kingdom. If you want to be big in my kingdom, then be a servant. If you want to be powerful in my kingdom, be humble. If you want to be strong in my kingdom, be weak. We've heard that before. Paul talks about it all of the time. A powerful man who gave up everything to become more powerful, and yet he looked weak to the world. Do we really believe this Jesus enough to live it? We gather together in churches, but we still like power and prestige. We still like to be looked up to. You know, one of the best organizations in the world is Alcoholics Anonymous. The founder of AA pretty much decreed, and they've held up to this, there's some things I want you to avoid. First of all, I want you to avoid owning property. Man, if you want to get into power struggles, just have some property. And it just brings out power struggles. He says, I don't want you to own a building to meet in. I want you to either meet where people donate the space, or you pass the hat and you pay for it. I don't want you to own a building, because that just gets into power struggles and that distracts you from your main purpose. Then the second thing he says is, I don't want you to have anybody that's, you know, all that technically in charge, because that's another power thing. And you're here to break away from your bondage to alcohol, or if you're in Narcotics Anonymous, from drugs. And I don't want you to get wrapped up in power struggles of electing who's officers and who's not, and all the politicking that goes on with that. And then he said, I want you to recognize the most important thing. You know what it was? You're a helpless person and you're not God. And when you do those three things and you get together with other people who do them, some healing can take place. As a professional counselor, I won't even consider counseling an alcoholic unless they're involved regularly in AA. Because that's the best place in the world for them. One of the reasons is they're terrific con artists. and they could con me easily. But you see, they can't con other alcoholics who've gone straight because they pulled every trick in the book and they call their hand on it. You see, our attachment to things, to buildings and offices and budgets and things like that, can do awful things to us about power. I remember when Bishop Cannon was being nominated for election to bishop, and we all know there's plenty of politics in the Methodist Church. Somebody came up to him and said, "You know, Bishop Cannon, I think you'd have a much better chance of being elected bishop if you were married." And his first response was, "What if I didn't win?" He says, "You know, I'd rather want something I don't have than have something I don't want." You know, this man had a brilliant scholarly mind, but he was just real down to earth with everyday things. You know, if I'm not good enough for it the way I am, then I just don't get it. But we see all around us how politicians surround themselves with advisors and groups and marketing groups to figure out what to do. And it's because we want the power and the prestige instead of the servanthood. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you must be a servant. If you want to be first, you must be slave to all. The church is not a place for us to demonstrate our power and our worldly skills. Jesus has called us to a kingdom of service, giving ourselves to others, filled with love and compassion, and resisting the temptation to lord it over one another. Let us pray that we have ears to hear and minds to understand. Amen.